This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's the evening edition with Ayman and Chuck, and for our next story, we're just going to divert a bit from all the new year, new decade talk by touching a bit on water cuts and water supply pollution. This is after the water cut in Selangor recently, which affected 1.5 million residents in the Klang Valley.
Yeah, guys, we promise this is going to be the last unpleasant story of the year, okay? With the Sungai Semenye plant, was actually forced to cease operations due to an odor pollution incident in Sungai Semenye. Actually, this was believed to be caused by people disposing illegal waste at the inlet of the Indah Water Consortium plant in Bandar Bukit Makota. According to information gathered by IWK and the Department of Environment, the toxic waste consisted of solvents, engine oil, fats, and industrial waste.
Yeah, so the National Water Services Commission Chairman Charles Santiago said that the possibility of sabotage may come into play because these water pollution incidents have occurred like three times already in Selangor, and two of those cases already involved the same location. So, you know, all this brings into question like how water cuts and water pollution can keep on occurring, and also what measures are in place to, you know, sort of anticipate them or deal with the water pollution, our water supply pollution. And that's what we're going to talk about today, because you know what, we face this like almost every year basically, right?
Yeah,
water is kept like a week or something, and then we have to like start gathering water, and then sometimes it's because of like a scheduled maintenance kind of thing, but there are also sometimes when it's unscheduled, and those are the kind of incidents that really grinds people's gears basically.
Yeah, I mean, it brings everything down to a halt, right? So even in the chili sauce office, we had water cuts as well, and we had to plan ahead for it. We were deciding, should we come into the office? You know, we have, you know, 15 or 16 people in the office, and you don't know what to do if there's no water. Like, you can't use the bathroom, you can't wash stuff. Mm-hmm. So obviously, like, it's really, really troublesome. But even more troublesome than that is finding out the source of the pollution. I mean, these are like, there's so many sources of water going into a reservoir and going into the pipes and going to the plant. You can't possibly have CCTVs on every single bit of this. So I actually don't know what the solution is here.
Well, I mean, because it happens a lot of times, right? You'd think that there'd be some kind of SOP at least into how to deal with it. But of course, talk is easier than actually acting on it, right? So I would imagine like it, because enforcement itself, it requires a lot of human capital, a lot of financial investment as well into like having these infrastructures or facilities like CCTVs, like you said earlier. So it's ideal to have these, but it just also brings home the fact that, you know, us outside of this scene of like water management and all that, people who dump water into these kind of areas, they're just really irresponsible. And that is a question of like our own civic mindedness as well. Like, maybe it's cost effective to throw things in the river or something, but that's just not very good because you're inconveniencing like a whole town, basically a whole city, and like people need to take responsibility for this.
Well, I believe that some people actually suspected that it's sabotage. So sabotage meaning that it's not just, you know, throwing it away because of convenience, but actually to purposely inconvenience people from this, and possibly some political motives or whatever. I think because of the difficulty of enforcement, I mean, my personal opinion would be that the crime needs to be punished severely, like so severely until like people wouldn't even dare to try it because the consequences are so much. Like you literally have to like bankrupt them, or, you know, 30 years in prison or something like that.
Yeah, but first, like, I just want to like talk about, you know, because it reminds me of this incident earlier this year in Sungai Kingkim in Johor, where there was the water pollution and it affected school children there as well, right? People could not go to school for days, and it just really highlights the fact that, you know, this is a serious problem that is occurring in this country. I hope that moving forward into 2020, we can find these necessary solutions to solve this problem, because it doesn't just affect us in terms of our use of water, but it can also affect our lives, as we can see in Sungai Kingkim as well. People fell sick, fell ill as well, and people cannot go to school. So, yeah, I really hope that, you know, as we're heading to the new year, a new decade, we're talking about WASAN 2020, SPB 2030 and all that, like, in terms of talking about development, we also look at how to develop ourselves as a people, as a society, because this involves not just the act of polluting, not just the act enforcing laws against water pollution. It also involves civic mindedness and improving ourselves as a people. So that is my hope for 2020, I would say.
And you know how serious Ayman is about this, because if you see any pictures, like we'll upload some pictures on social media, you can check the spy shots of Ayman. He's actually wearing a water-themed shirt today. You got to check it out.
So if you want to share any thoughts on water supply pollution and what should be done about it, you can always share it with us. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. After the break, we'll be speaking with Dato' Abdul Kadir from the Malaysian Water Association. So stay tuned on the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's the evening edition with Ayman and Chuck, and we've been talking about water cuts and water supply pollution. And this is after the water cut in Selangor recently, which affected 1.5 million residents in the Klang Valley. So now to talk about this, we're crossing over to Dato' Abdul Kadir from the Malaysian Water Association. Dato, thank you so much for being with us today. So first of all, could you walk us through the precautions that are in place to prevent pollution in our water sources?
Actually, under the current law, there are such policies. What is missing here is good enforcement. You see, if you look at the recent case of Pasir Gudang, Sungai Kim-Kim, Semenye, and latest one is this Mantin. These are all, I would say, it's a reactive measures, but not proactive. So if you can see, according to the law, DOE has the authority, and that's what they have done in Sungai Semenye by looking into all the plants. They have done that, but sad to say, it's rather reactive, not proactive. Not only that, if you look, you walk through the other act on water catchment, there are also encroachment in water catchment. If it's not polluted because of all these industries, it's also polluted because of this illegal logging and mining, just another area that's quite rampant happening in all areas. That's why if you look into the water treatment plant capability, if the NTU, this is about the condition of water, if the NTU exceeds a certain amount, then the water treatment plant cannot treat. And it's what happened in cases like, I quote one example in Bilut, in Pahang, whenever there's rain, the NTU rise up to maximum of 10,000. And the plant can only take maybe less than 1,000. And thereby, the plant need to be shut down. So these are all instances happening, which can be prevented. As I'm trying to say here is, the law is in place, but we are not serious enough in implementing it or enforcing it.
So is it a matter of updating the kind of technology we're using? Because, I mean, if a water treatment plant ceases to function once there's heavy rain, there's a bit of a problem there, isn't it?
Yeah, we should look at the matter by tackling the problem at source. The rest is contingency plan. There are a suggestion of, let's say, you build this off-river storage. It's one-off. So whenever it rains, you use that one. And whenever it's polluted, you use that pond water. But that is remedial. But if you look at solving the problem at source, that will be cheaper. Maybe at the moment, it will be quite expensive, but the long term, it will be very cheap. And that off-river storage can be used if during drought season, when there's no rain, you can use that water. But currently, we have a lot of water, but it's polluted. And that's the main concern of the water industry. If you touch on technology, in the current status of technology, there are things available such as probe that you can go for online monitoring. Meaning that if you put a probe, it's not only measuring the temperature and turbidity, it can go beyond. It can also measure other metals that goes in. See, the current culture that's happening in our industry is this illegal material or liquid is being released. One, during high flow of rain, they will release it. Second incident, commonly practiced, they will release it at 2 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning, where people are asleep. But if we have this technology of probing that will measure on online monitoring 24/7, so you have the data of the river all the time. So that's what I'm trying to say. If you say about technology, there are technologies, but you got to invest a bit. if I may suggest that if you put up this environmental integrated management system, that will be shared with DOE, VPS, SPAN, and water operator. It will be good. So everyone is in the know, and everyone can access to it on 24/7.
And just recently, it was reported that Indah Water will seal all of its manholes to prevent illegal dumping through these manholes. And it seems like it was pretty easy to contaminate our water sources then.
See, you got to look at the function of the manhole. The manhole function is to gain access whenever there is blockage. This is in the area of educating people. If you look at sewerage, basically the public use the sewerage system as another second dustbin. Strictly speaking, if they throw only liquid, there will not be any choke or block in the sewerage system. So whenever there's a blockage in the sewerage system, they need the manhole to gain access to clear the chokage. If you cover up all this manhole, then it defeats the purpose of the design. So the closing of the manhole permanently is not a good solution. One day people may forget, and when there is chokage, you do not know where's the location of this manhole. Then the overflow will proceed, and the nearby houses especially will get flooded whenever they try to pump their water closet. So our view is that it's not a long-term solution. Still, the best solution is to find a solution at source. That's what I say. We've got to engage now proper study data that's available at local authority, who is the first line of defense. Whenever the industry want to set up their factory, they have to go get the development order. When they talk about the development order, that means the local authority will have full detail of this type of factory. Then they can sort the help from the Department of Environment to identify what type of industry, what type of discharge, and how they're going to do their discharge, and where they're going to throw their toxic waste. All these need to be in place and put in a database, and that should not be what they call permanently stored there, but it should be reviewed and assessed and audited to show that if they throw amount of, say, 1,000 meter cube a day, then where they throw it, their receiving end should also report 1,000 meter cube. If there's any less than that, then that means something is missing, where they may throw what happened now. They throw into the river courses to cut short the journey and make saving.
Okay, so how can such a system be actually set up?
What they need to do is just create a survey, maybe, just a suggestion, put up a survey form, let all this industry surrender all their detail, and those who have not or failed to submit, that means they are not in order, so action needs to be taken. So by that, you have all the data with you, then you monitor the data on a predictive basis. Thereby, we need what we call inspection or auditing to be done, also on what we call a regular basis, without informing the factory owner. So that is, one of the best steps to do for a start to collect data. What is lacking is data. You have a lot of illegal factories, not only detected by DOE, but also detected by other agencies. And why this thing happened? Surprisingly, also, when this factory was set up, they are illegal. Still, they've been allowed to have energy or power supply. They got the water supply, and they got all the things, but they are illegal. So I put a big question mark. What happened, actually, in the process of scrutinizing the existence of all these illegal factories? What happened to our enforcement unit? Why there is lacking to have suddenly you have a lot of illegal factories? Or not only that, encroachment of the river reserve. There should not be any development along the river reserve, and all this thing need to be eliminated or screened through and demolished.
So every time an incident like this happens, right, entire neighborhoods, they experience a water cut, and we also experience quite a high frequency of water cuts for other reasons as well. Can anything be done to minimize this?
Yeah, that's sad to say. We have never learned from our lesson or mistake. If you look at the water source, we have water source, but it's polluted. If you look at the reserve margin of water operators, example, in Selangor, the reserve margin may be zero. You see, if you have a house, if there is no water, actually you can still live for one day, because your water tank that supply to your house is enough to supply for one, and that is the reserve. More than that, you have no water. So if you look at the case of Selangor, the reserve maybe zero. That need to check on the latest audit. But in previous audited figure done by SPAN, the reserve margin is zero. When they talk about reserve margin is zero, that means when there's a water cut, then there's no water immediately. There's no water. What is left is only those water in the pipeline. And when that pipeline is drained off, to fill it back, it takes days. And this is what the scenario that's happening in Selangor and maybe some other parts of the country. And the value of water is not being appreciated. The tariff is still low. The capex cannot be constructed. And coupled with all the other problems that they have, this is the dilemma that facing the water industry. So the question of whether this can be reduced, yes, but the step needs to be taken immediately to increase the water supply reserve margin and also raw water margin, because our yield is enough but it's polluted.
Okay, Dato, we know it's New Year's Eve, so one last question before we let you go, okay? You mentioned there's a lack of strict enforcement of our laws, but what are the punishments in place for those who are actually found to have caused pollution to our water sources in the first place?
Actually, in the DOE EQA Act 1974, there are such penalties. The fine is not more than 5,000, or imprisonment not more than 1 year, or both. You see, 5,000 to industry is peanuts. But if you look at the SPAN Act, if you look at clause 121, it speaks stringent. If the contaminated water caused by this industry caused death, then the person will be penalized with death penalty, or not more than 20 years, be given as penalty to this offender. But if it's not a death, then prison of not more than 10 years, a fine of not more than 500,000 plus whipping. If it's not a case of death and serious, then generally there will be fine of 100,000 or prison not more than 1 year. So if you look at this, currently I don't see in the news anyone being given such penalty. You look at Pasir Gudang, I may be wrong, but I've not seen any news to show that any of this being enforced. So we must be serious in what we write and what we implement. So with that, I hope the government can look back at all these things. And if there is not enough manpower, maybe it's about time to outsource to an independent body so that that can be strengthened and more effectively done to look at the pollution control in all the rivers.
Dato, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us today. You've been hearing from Dato Abdul Kadir from the Malaysian Water Association. So if you want to share your thoughts on water cuts and how we can deal with water supply pollution, you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.